Many a time we are told that there is a spirit different from the body, and therefore the pursuit of objectives physical is different from the pursuit spiritual. There are people who are moving exclusively in the spiritual line as separated from the path of physical life in the phenomenal world. The life spiritual and the life temporal have always been separated. We have also been wrongly told that the West is mostly temporal in its pursuits and the East is spiritual. It is not possible to pursue one aspect of truth only, because truth is inclusive of all the aspects. The spiritual pursuit is not something exclusive of the life physical, nor is it possible to live a successful physical life minus the spirit. The human personality is neither physical nor spiritual nor emotional nor intellectual exclusively. These are like facets of a crystal which cannot be separated one from the other. From every facet you can look to the whole of the crystal. And so it is wisdom on the part of any sincere seeker to look to the whole of life and not merely a part of it. It is true that many people, most people who are wedded to sensory perception and physical living merely, may go for comfort. This comfort is generally pursued without the knowledge necessary for the acquisition of it. Comfort can be mistaken for indulgence, but it is not. We cannot have comfort without the knowledge that is at the back of it. We do not want comfort which will lead to disease or discomfort later on. As a matter of fact, comfort is nothing but adjustment with nature, and you cannot harness nature artificially for our personal comforts. There is always a saying that we have to conquer nature, subdue nature, etc., as if nature is our enemy. We cannot conquer nature, and there is no necessity to do that because we are not outside nature. Now, as I mentioned, we are not outside nature, and therefore it follows that we are a part of nature. Hence, whatever is permissible under the law of nature would be conducive to our comforts. Education is the development of the human personality according to the law of nature. And we rise higher and higher in the level of education as we rise higher and higher in the knowledge of the internal secrets of nature. In the beginning, education is purely extraneous, in the sense that man thinks he is outside nature. This is what is called modern scientific education, where the objects of nature are regarded as things which are to be seen externally. Observation and experiment are regarded as the means of scientific knowledge. The inadequacy of scientific knowledge will come to relief from the fact that you cannot observe or experiment with that of which you are also a part. How can you observe that to which you yourself belong? There is a kind of artificiality involved in all scientific knowledge. The artificiality lies in the fact that you have wrongly separated the object which is nature, while it is really not an object of your observation. So there is a need to go into the depths of the very processes of knowledge before we enter into the field of education. The psychology of education is a precedent to the pursuit of the real progress in education. It has been said that education is the process of the revelation of the perfection that is already in the human being. This is a maxim which makes out that there is what is called perfection, and all knowledge is pursuit of perfection. Perfection means completeness in every respect, and that which is complete should be so both outwardly as well as inwardly. A partial observation and knowledge, partial of any object, cannot be regarded as perfection in knowledge. The system of physical education which introduces the techniques of perfection of the body has perforce to take into consideration other factors on which the body is dependent. Your body cannot be perfect if the mind is unhealthy. Whatever be the perfection of the body from the point of your physique, if the mind is sick, there is no harmony between the two. And so there is a need to combine psychology with physical education. But this requires again a knowledge of the mind. The mind in Western psychology especially is regarded as an instrument of cognition by the individual personality. It is believed in the field of Western psychology that the mind is an instrument of knowledge upon which impressions are formed by objects outside. Knowledge is regarded as the cognition of the impression on the mind made by objects from outside. But it is not the whole of the truth. It does not mean that the mind is like wax upon which impressions are made by solid things outside. If the mind is so passive, there would have been a kind of uniformity of perception of different objects in the world by different individuals. Modern educational psychology has come to the conclusion that the mind is not passively influenced by objects, but it has something actively to contribute to the nature of things also. There is a reciprocal action of object and the mind in every act of cognition. This means to say that we are not living in isolated individual worlds, we are living in a wider world of objects and minds. This would necessitate a harmony of oneself with not only outside things but society in general. So even a profound understanding of the techniques of physical education will land us in the necessity to study psychology as well as sociology. Now all this is a part of the enterprise of the social individual who is man. But we now come to a larger question as to why at all there is any kind of effort on the part of the human being. The need to maintain a body or to study the mind or to live comfortably in life is an effort at the achievement of something which is to be clear first. The pursuit of knowledge as well as any kind of activity in the world has an aim behind it. Now I am coming to an essential point that we have to recognize the aim of life first before we try to do anything with life. We do not study things for nothing. There is a reason behind it. Whether education is physical or psychological or intellectual or scientific or spiritual, what is the reason for your pursuit of this process at all? Perhaps a very superficial answer to this question would be that you want to lead a happy life. But have you seen a perfectly happy person anywhere? You will find that there is some lacuna behind every person, whatever be the effort at the pursuit of happiness. Whatever be the line of action taken by an individual in any walk of life, there is a shortcoming which upsets the very purpose of this enterprise. Because we are likely to miss certain aspects of life which are essential. There are people who will tell you that the spiritual life is the determining factor of a happy life. And there are others who tell you that life social is important and contributory to happiness. we have to take into consideration both aspects. As I mentioned to you earlier, the life of an individual cannot be separated in two different compartments. We all belong to a common world operated by common laws. And to be happy is not merely to pursue a course of action, but to be harmonious with the law of nature, as I mentioned already. Unless you know the laws of the atmosphere in which you are living, you will not be able to do anything perfectly. There is action and reaction taking place between things everywhere. This happens in every level, physical as well as psychological and spiritual. What you call the physical level of life is the least part of your life, because it is only the visible part of a larger reality that is behind you. It does not mean that it is an unreal part, but it is an inadequate part. Now, to take stand merely on this little projected part of your personality, which is the physique, would be to take a very superficial view of things. Your mental life is a vaster life than your physical one. But even the mind is not your real personality. I will give you a little bit of the taste of Indian metaphysics in this connection, so that you will know what true human personality is. You will realize that in the state of deep sleep, you exist in a condition bereft of physical consciousness. I would ask you a question. If you will be able to find out what is your condition in the state of deep sleep when you are bereft of physical and social consciousness, the state of being of yours in the state of deep sleep is something impersonal, really speaking. Your body is not there and your mind is not functioning, and yet you exist. That means to say, it is possible to exist bereft of physical and mental consciousness. But ordinarily, it is impossible for one to conceive such a condition. Now, the metaphysical aspect of this situation is that your essential nature is revealed in the state of deep sleep. The memory that you have subsequently of having slept proves that you had a conscious substance of your personality present in deep sleep. Though you could not perceive anything in sleep, you could infer this fact. You had an essential conscious existence there, though it was not a content of your living experience then. Now I take you a little bit deeper into the philosophical implication of this situation. This substance that you were in state of deep sleep could not have been anything else than pure consciousness. It could not have been a physical or mental existence merely. Your essential nature must have been consciousness somehow or other, notwithstanding that you could not be aware of it. If it had not been the case, you would not have remembered that you slept yesterday. Now, consciousness is a peculiar fluid being which cannot be compared with anything visible in this world. There are people who think in the West especially that the so-called thing called consciousness is only an exudation from material contents of brain. Just as flame sparks forth from a matchstick, they imagine that consciousness can project itself from the brain. So it is made out falsely that consciousness is an effect of matter. It is illogical to presume that the effect can be conscious of the cause. And if consciousness had been the effect, it could not have known the existence of matter. Further, it is difficult to understand what is the connection between consciousness and matter. You cannot glibly say that I see and perceive and know the existence of matter without explaining how it is possible. Consciousness cannot know the existence of matter, as they are dissimilar in character. If consciousness and matter were ultimately different in nature, there would have been no knowledge of the existence of matter at all. It would have been impossible to know even the existence of matter if they were totally dissimilar. So it is not true that even basically they are dissimilar. Indian metaphysics makes out that what you call matter is an expression of the universal spirit. So matter is an external object only to the individual mind and not really from its own point of view. We are told here in our country, especially from the point of view of our culture, that what you call matter and mind are like two arms of the universal absolute. They are projections from two different angles of vision of the same universal substance. It is this that is the ultimate reality of things. The ultimate reality is neither individual mind nor the material object. Both these are expressions of something transcendent altogether. The transcendent being, which is the reality, manifests itself partially as matter outside and partially as mind inside. And it is very clear from this analysis that everything should be a part and parcel, integral of that universal being. Education is, again to come to the point, a gradual process of approximation of oneself to the reality of the spirit. The more you come near to this ultimate reality, the more are you educated. Now, coming near to it does not mean coming physically near it as you come near a physical object. The very fact that it is universal shows that it is not in space and not in time. And therefore, it is not physical proximity that we are speaking of, but an internal enlightenment. Education is therefore a process of enlightenment and not contact with things. Now I revert to the point I mentioned that in the state of deep sleep you existed as an essence of spirit or consciousness. This universal being was there peeping through your personality in the state of deep sleep. Just as the vast ocean may appear as a small wave on its surface, your personality rises in the waking state as a wave from this universal being. So when you wake up into physical consciousness, you forget the ocean that you were in sleep. When you come up to the body level in the waking consciousness, you are tied up to an ego personality which makes you forget the oceanic background behind you. So education, again to come to the point, is a process of becoming more and more universal in comprehension. Thus, education includes every level of knowledge and every branch of learning. You cannot be merely a physicist or a chemist or a biologist or a mathematician and call yourself educated. These are only informative methods of educating oneself, but not gaining insight into the nature of things. True education is communion with reality by degrees. So even if it be in the minutest degree, it must be a communion with reality if you are to be really called cultured and educated. Now for this purpose, you have to understand the structure of the universe as a whole. Great educationists of the past were also great philosophers, because psychology is based on a metaphysical insight into the nature of things. And education is nothing but an expression of human psychology. So you can imagine how vast is the pursuit of education or knowledge, and how little we are trying towards its implementation. So we are now in a position to understand where we have made the mistake in life. We do not live in the world for the sake of physical comfort or convenience. The purpose of living is to work hard for the education of the spirit within. And the revelation of the spirit, which is the process of the education, is total, integral, comprehensive, all-inclusive. When you rise gradually by degrees in the process of education, your whole personality evolves. So a correct psychology of education would be that which instills into the minds of children the basic principles of comprehensiveness even at the initial stage. Too much of specialization and compartmentalization in the branches of learning is not proper. Proper education would be therefore the purification of the total human individual. Now the total human individual means everything that the human individual is made of. The human personality is made up of various levels of contact and experience. You have outwardly the national, the social and the political fields of contact, and inwardly there is the biological level, the psychological, the intellectual and the spiritual. The human personality is wide as well as deep. So in your educational processes, you have to include the width as well as the depth of the personality at the same time. And when you progress in the process of education, you become wider and deeper at the same time. If it is 1 inch of width gained, there is also an inch of depth gained at the same time. Because every real growth is both outward as well as inward. So that the ultimate aim is to become so comprehensive that you are as vast as the universe, as deep as eternity itself. This is the ideal of what they call God realization, or the ultimate realization of the supreme reality. At present it may look like a theoretical ideal, but it is the ultimate truth. You will realize that ultimately it is not merely a theoretical ideal, it is a fact which manifests itself in small degrees at least in your practical lives. Even a little jot of happiness that you have in life is nothing but an expression of that universality in some degree or the other. In practical life, universality manifests itself as unselfishness. The more are you unselfish, the more are you tending towards universality. Hence, your unselfishness is the test of your happiness. To be unselfish would be to include the features of other human beings also in your life. So, unselfishness is not really absence of the self, but an inclusion of the selves of others in more and more, greater and greater degree. Unselfishness means the negation of the demands of the egoistic self and the inclusion of the needs of other selves also. So again you come to the point of considering the world outside at the same time when you consider the needs of your inner life also. So it amounts to saying that when a person enters the field of education, one enters the field of the universe itself. You are placing your foot on the ocean, which is vast and deep at the same time. So my humble prayer to you all is that in your organizational setup of physical education, etc., you bear in mind the needs of common life in harmony with the laws of nature as a whole. These days we have various little petty divisions created by the human minds, such as racial difference and color difference and sex difference and the difference of wealth, at the superiority, inferiority of various kinds which bar the very effort at real education. Human prejudice has become the great obstacle in real culture, and it is futile to try to have real success in life or enter into a field of real culture or universal amity as long as human barriers in the forms of this prejudice persist. Well, it is very difficult to get out of these prejudices. We are born into them. But then what is education if it is not the attempt to get out of this? In the schools of education, you are scrubbed out of all these accretions which are falsely grown over you, and you are made to become more and more resplendent in your true nature. You begin to reveal in your lives the true human nature rather than the racial character or the other differentiating characters in life. Education is neither Western nor Eastern, but human. And therefore we have to bear in mind that we are humans and not merely of the West or the East. ultimately we rise above even the difference of sex and confront life as a manifestation of the spirit, impersonal. So you can imagine that the educational career is one of utter self-sacrifice. And really speaking, you are becoming more and more divine in your nature when you become more cultured and educational, educated. So I conclude by a single sentence which will make out that your aim is external as well as internal, physical, vital, psychological, intellectual, spiritual, social and universal. You are then going to realize finally as the summit of your education that you are a citizen of this universe, not merely of a clan or a country.